the weak made strong all through that Savior's love. Amen. Take your Bibles with me to the book of Acts. I pray that your heart is open and ready for the Word of God this morning and for God to move in us. And I pray that it is your heartfelt desire not just to sit, but to be active in this time and active in listening and having your heart opened to the Word of God today. You know, in the past few years, technology has made leaps and bounds in different areas. And one of the most amazing things that we see nowadays is the idea of GPS in our pockets, all right? Google Maps, Siri, who sometimes knows what she's doing. You know, all these different things that are now in our pockets. And GPS has been and just made incredible leaps and bounds. And, you know, you can go on Google Earth and zoom right into your house and all kinds of things that are available and directions and roads and how you get from place to place. And GPS is a great tool because if you're like me, sometimes, you know, you're trying to listen to the GPS and all of a sudden you're supposed to make a right turn and you make a left turn and you go the wrong direction. But what does it say? It says, you know, rerouting, you know, and it's trying to get you back and then all of a sudden all the blue lines change. Or how about when there's traffic? Now these things are smart enough to tell you when there's traffic and say, hey, you need to reroute to here. This will shave off 10 minutes out of your day or out of your commute. Try going down this way. But it never works for me because it usually goes by like Chick-fil-A and I have to stop. So GPS has a way of redirecting us from wrong turns. When we were in France, you know, we were driving back from the beaches in Normandy, and we were driving in Caen, Victor was driving, and we were spectating, and the GPS was routing in Caen's a town of about 200,000, so it's a bigger town, and we were going right through the middle of it. And, you know, they have roundabouts, they have different signage, they have different things. We were making wrong turn after wrong turn. I think we found every one-way street in downtown Caen. And so we are going through, the thing is just trying to catch up, it's trying to find satellites, we're rerouting, and finally we made it home 3 hours later. And as we were going through all that time, it was amazing to me how that GPS knew right where we were. And it knew how to reposition us to where we needed to get to be. You know, and when we come together on Sundays and we open up the Word of God knows right where we're at. And the Word of God knows how to position us where we need to be. And when we open up the Word of God together, it's a time for us to redirect. It's a time for us to refocus and to reroute to where God would have us to be. And as we have started this year, we are starting this year with this theme of community. And this idea of what is this all about that we are doing as a church body, as a body of believers? What does it mean to be a part of it? And last week, we looked at the idea of the nature of the church. And knowing that we need to be His church, and our nature should be a nature of the gospel. And this week I want us to look at the direction of the church, the purpose of the church, and I wanted to see it in two directions. Upward, outward. Upward and outward. You see, the purpose of the church and the community, sometimes it gets twisted, it gets turned around, it gets redirected and goes to many different ideas. But today, we're going to allow God's positioning, we're going to allow the Word of God to show us these two directions, upward and outward. Upward and outward. I want you to look here with me in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 11. In verses 19 through 26, Acts is an incredible book filled with the history of the early church and how it grew. I mean, the passage we read this morning, I tell you, it is of substance of what we saw happen there to Paul. And in fact, what we read this morning in our scripture reading, you know, kind of plays into what we're going to talk about here in this passage this morning. And as we see all this, we're seeing this early church and what God was doing and putting things together. And it gives us a lot of insight of God's direction for the church. Now, Acts chapter 11, verse 19, it says, "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Now here in Acts chapter 11, in these verses, we see the church at Antioch. And we see the church in Antioch begin to grow. Now this is an interesting part of the book of Acts, because you're going to start to see the focus from the church of Jerusalem begin to change from there and move towards the church at Antioch in the rest of the book of Acts here. And so this is really a key part of the history going on in the book of Acts. In Antioch was a large city. It was the third largest city in the Greco-Roman world. The third largest in the area, somewhere between 200 to 500,000 people. And it was big. It was the third largest behind Rome and Alexandria. So you had this huge metropolis, this huge area, and it was filled with all kinds of people. Now, Antioch is about 250, 280 miles north of Jerusalem. All right, so we are beginning to see the word now is starting to spread out. And it's starting to spread because of the persecutions. You ever wondered, you know, sometimes we always look at the bad that happens because of persecution. But because of persecution, the word of God is beginning to spread throughout the world. And so here it's now spreading to Antioch. If you want kind of a modern day idea, Antioch is directly west from Aleppo, Syria. All right, and it is really in the southernmost little nook of Turkey there on the Mediterranean Sea. It's about 8 miles or so from the coast. It was founded in 300 BC by a Greek, Seleucus Nicanor, after his father Antiochus. And he named the city Antioch. It was the seat of the Roman government for the region. It was on the Orontes River, and its port was about 8 miles upstream to the Mediterranean. Now, Antioch was a very morally lax city. In fact, in their worship of other gods and the Greek and Roman gods, they had a temple about 5 miles outside of the city that was dedicated to temple prostitution. It was a very morally lax, and in fact, the historians of the day said the trash from the Orontes has come to Rome through the Tiberias River. You know, so they're going through all this idea of understanding that, you know what, this place is really going downhill. But in Antioch, you have a large Gentile population. It's mostly the Greeks, but then they were scattered in some Jews from the diaspora or the dispersion. From the persecution, these Jews have migrated up to Antioch. But here, something happens in Antioch that's going to produce really the church hub for missionary activity going forward. And we see what's happening here to show us a lot about the purpose of the church. And we see a great example of what's happening in Antioch to show us what was going on and what was happening and what should be a part of the purpose of the church. It shows us these directions. So first this morning, I want you to see that they developed an upward connection. They developed an upward connection. Look there in verse 20. It says, But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. Now the phrase I want you to see there is they are going to Antioch and they begin witnessing. Notice there that phrase, great number of them who believed and turned to the Lord. They believed and turned to the Lord. The word here for believed is to place your faith in. They had placed their trust and they had placed their faith in the Lord. They had listened to these men from Cyprus, these men from Cyrene. They'd have come. They are witnessing and they have turned. They have placed their faith and trust in the Lord. And because of that, they are turned. The word here for turned, it's bringing about the idea of a conversion. It speaks of an act of repentance. And what we see in repentance is a lot of times we think of the turn away from, but it's a turning away from and a turning to. When we repent, we are asking God to forgive us of our sins, and we are asking God to take away, and we know that's wrong. We don't need to go that direction anymore, and we repent from it. We turn from it. But when we turn from it, we are turning to the Lord. A lot of times we can make the simple mistake that, you know what, if I'm going to repent, I'm just going to turn away from something. But we never actually commit to turning to something. And so we get a few weeks down the road and all of a sudden something pops up and we haven't committed to something. So we go back to what we know. And we fall back into the same patterns. We fall back in the same things. To repent means not only just to turn away from, but to turn towards. Towards to God. A great number here believed and they turned to the Lord. It's what Paul talked about in 1 Thessalonians 1:9 as he talks about those believers. He said, "For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Here there was an upward connection. They had believed in the Lord and they had turned away from and turned to God. Folks, there are a lot of things in this world that are competing for your attention. There's a lot of things in this world that say, you know what, you can be a good Christian and still do this. You can still love God and still do this. But all it's trying to do is to direct you away from who God is. And when we repent and when we want to get right and when we want to commit to the Lord, we're turning away from those distractions and we're turning to. They had believed and they had turned to the Lord. There was an upward connection. An upward connection. This upward connection started that relationship to God, and it's followed up with actions of turning from and turning to. Here we see this in this upward connection. It produces worship. It produces acts of worship. And folks, as we see the purposes of the church, one of those purposes is to worship God, is to make it known that He is the one that we've turned to. We have turned away from these things and we are turning to Him. And that's why we sing 10,000 reasons. That's why we sing these praises. And that's why we are reminded that it's Christ alone that we've turned all from to this Christ, this cornerstone. It's Him that we come to worship, to bow down. You know, worship, as I've said at different times, worship is a response. As we have an opportunity to hear God and understand who God is. And as we grow in a relationship with Him, His truth is communicated to us. And we receive that truth and we receive that grace and we receive that mercy. And because of that, there is a response to it. And that should be worship. Because we are saying, "You are worth it. You're worth my time. You're worth my energy. You're worth my commitment. You're worth all these things." And our life and everything we do, worship is not just 11 o'clock on Sunday. Worship is every day. Worship is in your job. Worship is in your marriage. Worship is in every action that we take. 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do to the glory of God." And a part of being a part of a church is the purpose of worshiping Him and saying, "You are worth it." You see, in this purpose, the church should have times of praise. A chance to be able to praise God. You know what's fun on Wednesday night when we get together and go through our prayer list and we hear a report of how God answered a prayer and we get to say, you know what, we get to praise God this week. We get to praise God because He heard this prayer. I love those opportunities to praise God. We get to worship God through prayer. A beautiful time at the beginning of our services to have an opportunity to pray and to bow our hearts before the Lord, to speak to Him. And we get to do it each and every day to pray and to worship the Lord through it. We get to worship the Lord through preaching, through the God-ordained aspect of taking the Word of God and bringing it forth for an opportunity of decision. We get to worship the God through preaching. We get to worship God through giving, as we get to respond to Him with our tithes, with our offerings that Paul said that should come from our heart. As every man purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. And we have this opportunity to respond to the Lord in our giving with our resources. But you know, all of worship involves us responding to Him. You know what should be the greatest time of worship in our church during the week? Is our call to response. When we have an opportunity to respond to the Lord. You know what? Sometimes there might be a Sunday that there is something else that the Holy Spirit is working on your heart and working on your life that's not necessarily a part of the message, but it's something God's been working on you during the week. And you know what? We come to that call to response. You need to respond. You know what? If God is working on you through that worship service and there's an opportunity for you to respond to Him at the call to response, we need to respond. To get into the practice of responding to the Lord. Because if we can't respond to Him here inside these walls together, we're not going to respond to Him when He's calling us outside these walls. When we're in the midst of enemies. And it's dangerous. We need to get into the practice of responding in worship. You know, it's interesting. Back, way back in 2004, right? Isn't that weird to say? Way back in 2004... it's reported there's 43,465 SBC churches, Southern Baptist churches. These amount of churches reported a membership of 16.2 million members. 16.2 million members. But on an average, each Sunday, only 6 million are attending. What does that say about our upward connection? What does that say about God's worth to us? Now, I understand of sickness, but only 37% of it, it's not all sickness. There is an opportunity for us to respond with worth. You know what? You're worth my time of worship. You're worth this commitment. Here we see these people, they are believing and they are turning to the Lord. There is an upward connection that's happening, and our upward connection should show what we have turned from and what we're turning to. There is an upward connection. The second thing we see in our direction here is that they created an outward connection. An outward connection. Notice there in verse 20 something important that's happening. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene. All right, so why are the men of Cyprus and Cyrene different? Let's go back, verse 19. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. So, the diaspora and the dispersion's beginning to happen because of the persecution. People are starting to go out. They're starting to spread the word. But where are they going? They're going to talk only to the Jews. Except to the Jews. That's where we see then in verse 20. But here's a contrast. Here is something different than that. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists. Here they came to Antioch, Cyprus being that island there in the Mediterranean that is, offshore from Antioch. They had to physically get up and go to Antioch with the purpose. Here are your missionaries. They're going to Antioch to spread the word, to talk about Jesus. They came to Antioch and they spoke to the Hellenists. The Hellenists being the Greek-speaking people there in Antioch. They are thinking about the ones that are not the Jews. And you see a difference here between those who are going to those other towns and speaking only to the Jews. Now to these men of Cyprus, these men of Cyrene. We don't get their names, but thank God they went and spoke to the Hellenists about Jesus. That they went and spoke to them about who God was. Because you see, earlier in chapter 11, we see Peter's exposing God's plan for the gospel to go to the Gentiles. He is saying that this is the opportunity for them. What God has made clean, we're not going to call it unclean. And the gospel is going towards the Gentiles. But yet it had not been widespread in application. So these men were embarking on really something that was new. It's not the way they had done it before. And they are coming into Antioch and they are preaching Jesus to more than just the Jews, but they are preaching Jesus to the Gentiles. And that's where we see, you know, Paul later on. What were they accusing him of? This is the guy that's been preaching Jesus. He's been teaching these Gentiles about God. Wouldn't you want that to be the accusation on your life? You've been talking to too many people about Jesus. It could be coming. It could be coming. You've been talking to too many people about Jesus. Here they had gone to Antioch to spread the news. And notice how it says it. It says, preaching the Lord Jesus. Preaching here is the Greek word euangelizo, which gives us the idea of evangelizing. It's the word for spreading the good news. You see, folks, we have an opportunity to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is the fact that it's not about anything that you've done that makes you a candidate for God's love. It's about the fact that Jesus loved you and did something for you, and you can receive that good news. You can receive that love. They were preaching. They were giving them the gospel. They were evangelizing. And what were they preaching? The Lord Jesus. Now, there is a small difference here that's important. Because instead of saying the Christ Jesus, it says the Lord Jesus. Because as you begin to speak to the Greeks, saying Christ in the messianic overtones that would come with that would not mean as much to them. But in fact, they are preaching the Lord Jesus because the Greeks needed someone. They needed someone to come along and tell them about this life, about everlasting life that could come through a Lord, through a King, through Jesus, which name meant salvation. He said, I'm going to come preach the Lord Jesus to them. The Greeks were looking for that immortality and that life. And these men from Cyprus and Cyrene were coming and they were connecting outward. They were connecting to these. These outward connections created through the sharing of the gospel. And here we see another purpose of the church. Make disciples. Make disciples. One of our purposes as a church body, as a community of believers, is not here and just to be sit and be happy in of ourselves, but to have the opportunity to make disciples, to make followers of Jesus Christ so that others can know what He's done for us. We do this through outreach. The opportunities in our church that we do to bring people to an opportunity so they might get to know Jesus Christ. And not just things that we want to do here, but we need to branch out and get more into reaching out to the community, to going out to the community the way these men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch. And we need to reach out more to this community, not only through outreach, but also through missions. And our support of missions and what we're doing through missions and the opportunities there in France is an opportunity for us to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To see people come to know that glorious thing. And you know what? We also make disciples by having a love for others. If we care, then we will share. If we care, then we will share. We must connect people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, throughout this past year, it's been easier to be more concerned about our political opinions than it is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to have the opportunity to be able to share the good news. I don't know about you folks, but this weekend fired me up watching TV. And you know what it did to my heart? It said there's people out there that need to know Jesus. It's not going to happen by me standing there and trying to get into a political argument with them because they're already unreasonable in what they're saying. And I'm trying to stop myself from going down that hole, all right? They're unreasonable in things that they're saying and the arguments they're using. So they're not going to sit there and listen to my political rant. So why not love them with the love of Jesus Christ? Why not reach out with the gospel and say, you know what? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's not only just turning from, it's turning to a wonderful Savior. And if that's not a difference in my life, they're not going to want to listen to what I have to say. We need to create more outward connections with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, if we keep it to the exclusivity of our connection inside this building, we will miss out and we will not see what God can do. Oh, but start talking to people about Jesus and see what God can do. Start talking to people about the gospel and see what God can do. Here we need more people like the men of Cyprus, more people like the men of Cyrene that went to Antioch and started preaching the Lord Jesus. And thank goodness they did, because what's going to happen at Antioch? You go over a few chapters in chapter 13, and there at the church of Antioch, these believers get together and they send out Barnabas and they send out Paul, who's going to go and start churches in Philippi, who's going to start churches in Galatia, who's going to start churches in Thessalonica, who's going to start churches in Ephesus, who's going to start churches all over the area, and Paul's going to want to even go to Spain. Thank goodness somebody went to Antioch and said, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, because from there a great gospel mission is going to go forward, and there's going to be a church there that says, we need to get the gospel out. They need to create an outward connection. And folks, we need to grow our outward connections. We need to reach more people for Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, we see they matured outward connections. Notice what happens in verse 22. After all these people are coming to the Lord, verse 22, the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. It's amazing. Something's happening there in Antioch, and people are getting wind of it down in Jerusalem. The report of this comes to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and he saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he had brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. You see what's happening here? All of a sudden, this church is rising up. These people are getting saved. There's upward connections. There's outward connections. And now these ones are coming along to mature the outward connection. It was causing a stir. And so the church at Jerusalem, they send Barnabas to go check out Antioch, which is very likely that that should happen. Barnabas was from Cyprus, not too far from the area. And Barnabas' name, it literally means an encourager. Barnabas was sent to be an encourager. And yet he gets there, he sees the movement of God. What does he do? He sees, when he came, he saw the grace of God and he was glad. So what did he do? He encouraged him. Keep it up. Keep it up. I tell you, when you see the hand of God moving and when you see God doing something, why don't you come alongside and be an encourager and say, you know what? Let's keep it up. Let's keep it up. Let's keep it going. Let's keep stoking that fire. Let's keep it burning. Let's keep people coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And notice what happens, because he continued and he exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord. It says there was great many people that were added to the Lord. Well, I think Barnabas came along at the right time just to be the right encourager to say, you know what? Hey, keep it up, men of Cyprus. Keep it up, men of Cyrene. Man, y'all are doing an incredible job. The grace of God's going forward. Something incredible is happening here. Let's keep it up. Let's keep it going. Let's stoke this fire. He was encouraging them. He was helping to mature that outward connection. And then what does he do? Verse 25, so Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. He's going to go to Tarsus, and he's going to look for this guy that had his life changed. Saul, who would become Paul, the one that would be this great missionary for the Lord. This is still early on here in Paul's conversion. And I tell you what, it's still fresh on Paul what Jesus Christ had done to him. In fact, I don't ever think he let it not be fresh to him what Jesus Christ did. And so Paul, he goes looking for Paul in Tarsus. He says, hey, Paul, or Saul, you need to come to Antioch. You got to come see what God's doing here, man. God is pouring out a blessing. There is something happening here. You need to come be a part of this, because you've had your life changed. I want you to show others how to have their lives changed as well. So he goes, he finds Saul. When he found him, he brings him to Antioch. And what happens? For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. You know, knowing Paul, he probably did it for about an hour a week, don't you think? That he taught the people. If you know Paul, he met with them house to house. He gave his soul. He gave his life. It's 1 Thessalonians 2:8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to impart to you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls because you were dear to us. The Apostle Paul poured everything in for a whole year, and night and day, like he did with the Ephesian church, as it says in Acts chapter 20. Night and day with tears, I'll tell you, they labored to teach and they matured the connection that's around them. They took the time to teach and mature the people. Barnabas and Paul matured the connection with presence and with teaching. This speaks to another purpose of the church, to mature the disciples. Not only are we to make disciples, but we are to mature them. We are to see them grow up in the Lord through a process of discipleship. It kind of, you know, makes us think of these words called knowing, growing, and showing. That we want to mature the disciples. We want people to come to know Jesus as their Savior. We want to have that upward connection and worship with Him. And then we want to see them grow up in the Lord. We want to see them matured for His purpose. This is what Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall teach others also. He is wanting them to mature them, to continue the teaching, to have that presence that's there. We can't teach if we aren't present. Because of the matured connection of the believers, the church at Antioch would then go on and send out missionaries. Because someone came along and taught them and showed them, they would grow up enough to be, you know what, we need to be people that need to send people. You know what, the fact that this church has a great history, it speaks to what we should do in our future. Not to live there in that past, but to take that past and honor it by moving forward. By seeing more people come to know Jesus as their Savior. This speaks to that purpose of maturing disciples, and we do that through fellowship. Fellowship takes an active presence. You can't fellowship if you aren't present. It takes discipleship, which is relational. It's purposeful. It's not a program. It's getting involved. As Paul said, I'm willing to impart my own life to you. It's relational. And it's the teaching ministry of the church. It's hard to grow up in anything with only an hour a week. We need to see this opportunity of our church and our teaching ministry of our church through Sunday school and Life Points and our other services to be able to grow up to see more people mature in the connection to Jesus Christ. We want people to grow in them. More outward connections then could be made. The mature outward connections do not come when we have an individualistic mindset. When we're saying this doesn't fit my schedule, or this is not what I like, or this does not appeal to me, we're not going to be maturing outward connections. It takes an other's mindset like we see in Barnabas, like we see in Paul. Barnabas, he got to Antioch and he didn't say, you know what? I wasn't leading this group, so, you know, just do whatever you want, I guess, you know. If God leads you, okay. You know, he came in, he saw the grace of God moving, and he said, hey, good job, you're doing it. Man, the gospel's going forward, let's keep it up. And he got so excited, he went and told his friend about it. Hey, Saul, you gotta come see this, and I need your help, let's come teach him. And he helped to mature the connection. It was others focused. You see here, the church at Antioch, it displays these directions for purpose in the church. We need to be upward connected, and we need to develop that upward connection to God. And then we need to create outward connections. And we need to get to know people so that we can share Christ with people. And then we need to mature outward connections and see people grown up and see the disciples grown up in the nature, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is an opportunity to go upward and outward. But then I want you to notice something here. This display does something to those around them. Notice in verse 26. And when he had found them, he brought them to Antioch. And for a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Here we see the first instance that the people of God were called Christians. You know, what's the one term that we are closely linked with nowadays? Is Christians. Christians. And here it is, the first time they are called Christians. This is a combination of Greek and Latin words, and it's about the idea, and what its meaning is, these are the ones that are belonging to the name of Christ. These are the ones that are His possessions. These are the ones that are under His thought and are following Him. These are His disciples. These are the ones belonging to Jesus Christ. And you know what? When it was first used, it was used in a derogatory way. It's used only three times in the New Testament. We see it here in Acts a couple of times, and then we see it in 1 Peter, where 1 Peter says, listen, hey, if you're called Christians, hey, you know what? That's a good thing. Don't be ashamed of that. Why would he say, don't be ashamed, if it wasn't used derogatory there in that time? He said, don't be ashamed of it. And here we see this time they are being called Christians. Folks, because our upward and our outward connections should name us. Our upward and our outward connections should name us. And here at Antioch, their upward connection, what they believed and what they had turned from and turned to, and their outward connections of reaching out to other people and reaching out to the Gentiles, to the Greeks, and then their maturing of teaching the people and pouring into the people and growing them up so one day they would be a very missional, sending out church. All of that is because of the upward and outward connections that named them. And people saw that and said, you know what? Those are those Christ followers. I tell you, what would they name us today? Well, there's a lot of things they try to name us, and I'm sure you've heard them. Oh, you're one of those Christians, right? You're one of those goody-two-shoes, better than thou. You know, it's funny how people can quote the King James when they want to. Or they really start getting dirty. You're a Christian. You're a bigot. You hate. You this or that. And we need to change it to where they name us from our upward connection and our outward connection. And how we are connected to God and we are growing in a love for God so that it helps us reach out to others and it helps us grow up as a committed body of believers. Our upward and outward connections should name us. So how are we directed in those purposes of the church? How are we committed to worship? How are we committed to making disciples? And how are we committed to maturing the disciples? We're coming into a day and age where we just can't just slide by anymore. Where we need to have a greater commitment for the Lord Jesus Christ. We see these men here in Scripture and what they did and how God blessed and how God worked. And I tell you, I want God to do that here in our church. It's not about what we can just fit into our lives. It's about what changes our lives. And it's got to change us first. This morning, right where you're at, just bow your heads and close your eyes. No one standing yet. No one looking around. Because as we come to this time of response, as we come to this opportunity to respond to the Word of God, I want us to be willing to do something a little different today. And right where you're at and in your heart, I want you to ask yourself, in what areas do I need to grow my commitment? Do I need to grow my upward connection? Do I need to develop upward connection? Do I need to be stronger in that commitment? I want you to ask yourself, do I need to create outward? Do I need to be stronger in sharing my faith with somebody else? With talking about the Lord Jesus to somebody? Do I need to grow my commitment to share and create outward? Or how about maturing outward? Do you need to take the next step there? So you know what? I need to know more. I need to grow more in the Word of God. I need to mature myself. And you know what? I feel called to teach. I feel called for an opportunity to help others. I feel called to disciple. I want to help mature other people. How is your commitment? And this morning, as you're there and as you know what God is doing in your heart and life this morning, I want us to be people of action. I want us to respond. And this morning, as you pray, and you can look up just for a moment, here on each side, I got some Sharpies and some Post-it notes. And as God is working in your heart, I want you to find what God is speaking to you, whether it's to create or to develop upward, create outward, or to mature outward. However God's dealing with you and what you want to commit to, I want you to take an opportunity to come down, write it on a Post-it. And I want to create outward. I need to do better at sharing Jesus Christ with somebody. With opening my mouth. And you know what? And let's get committed to the cross. And I want you to take that Post-it. And if you're wanting to commit it to the Lord, I want you to put it on the symbol that shows us first and foremost what is upward and what is outward. Because of His, Jesus Christ, His upward connection to the Father. And Father, it's not my will, but yours. Your will be done. And in your hands, I commend my spirit. I'm going to have that upward connection. And Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, came and humbled Himself to God. And He had an upward connection so that He might love outward. And in this symbol of the cross, I want you to take that commitment. I want you to put it there, and then I want you to find a place, the altar, your seat, wherever, and just pray. Just ask God to do something. Our musicians are going to come forward, and they're going to start praying. But after I get done praying, you know what? However God's speaking to you, let's get up and let's do it. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that now You would help move in us, Lord, a commitment to You. Help us, Lord, to want to go farther. Help us, Lord, to be like these men of Cyprus, of Cyrene, to be like Barnabas, to be like Saul, Lord, to take Your glorious gospel to somebody that needs it. Help us, Lord, to be involved with this upward and outward purposes that You've designed for Your community, for Your body of believers. And Lord, help us to put it in Your hands. Lord, today give courage to those that need courage. Help us, Lord, to step out in the ways of faith in which You've designed for us. Help us to turn from and turn to. Help us to love You the way You've loved us. For it's in Your name we pray. As we